Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Today's episode is sponsored by Kobo Audiobooks. I often get asked how I read so many books, and one of the most significant changes I've made is listening to audiobooks. If you are looking to level up your reading routine, Kobo's audiobook membership is just what you need. Choose from thousands of audiobook titles in Kobo's catalog, including bestsellers and originals. You can use your monthly credit on any audiobook, regardless of its list price. And with the free Kobo app, you have access to your listening library at all times. One thing I love about the Kobo app is the ability to adjust the listening speed. I tend to listen to audiobooks at 1.5 speed when I'm home, doing housework, gardening, driving, wherever. I take it with me everywhere. If you want a feature-packed audiobook listening experience, download the free Kobo app and start listening today. Head to www.kobo.com for more. Thank you to Kobo for sponsoring today's show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Renee here. I am so excited to introduce you to a few of the folks from Students United and Fuck Student Debt. We'll talk a little bit more about our partnership with them in a minute, but today I've got Lexi and Kayla, and I would love to have you both introduce yourselves. Lexi, why don't you go first?
Yeah, what's up? Thanks so much for having us. Super excited to be talking with you today. My name is Lexi Beiler. My pronouns are she, her, and I am the Director of Communications for Students United. I've been working there since October 2019, so coming up on 2 years. And I'm just super excited about this new campaign we launched, which is called Fuck Student Debt. And the goal of this campaign is to eliminate all of the student debt created by higher education institutions in Minnesota. So while we prioritize people who have been the most harmed by student debt, in addition to our Minnesota State University alumni, this was something that will be open to U of M alumni, private and for-profit alumni as well, all people who went to an institution in Minnesota and have debt. And so that's a little bit. I'm sure we'll get more into it, but that's a brief introduction, and I'll hand it over to Kayla.
Hi, I'm pretty excited to be here. I listened to the podcast a couple times, and I'm very excited. But my name's Kayla. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. My relationship to Students United is that I'm a former state chair. So I was on the board. I worked as a legislative assistant, and then eventually I got to chair the board of this really awesome organization and be their genderly ambiguous leader for a year, and now I am just a proud alumni. My relationship to the Fuck Student Debt campaign is the advocacy work that I got to be a part of carried more and more momentum, and now Students United is in this great place to have this campaign, and I have a lot of fucking student debt, so it resonates with me, and I'm excited to see them be successful.
I am 35 years old and I'm still paying my student debt, so yes.
I don't know when I'll not be paying
student exactly.
debt. At this
Sadly.
Point.
So, I mean, why focus on student debt, and how does that relate to Students United as a whole?
That's a great question. So we can zoom out and I can do a better explanation or more a little bit more in-depth explanation of what Students United is. And Students United was founded in 1967. And throughout the years became a 501c3 nonprofit, which essentially just means we're nonpartisan. And we represent the 7 Minnesota State Universities. So that includes Bemidji, Metro State, Mankato, Moorhead, St. Cloud, Southwest, Winona. And like Kayla said, they were state chair. And so we have 3 board officers, a state chair, vice chair, and treasurer, and then 7 board members who are voting members of the board. And they are the 7 student body presidents from each university. And so we are completely student-led and student-ran. And then there's a team of, right now we have 8 professional staff members who are there to support our students and uplift their voices to advocate for higher ed policies at a local, state, federal level, in addition to lobbying the Minnesota State System Office as well. So that's what we do. We advocate for higher ed policies. And of course, student debt cancellation is one policy that our board, we call them our pandemic board, the board that served last year, they decided to take that stance. That's not a stance that Students United had previously. And through, I think, the pandemic, like a lot of systems, showed how broken our higher education system is, and showed the existing disparities and how exasperated they became throughout the pandemic. And so when the student federal student debt was canceled, or payments were canceled, the board decided to take on this issue, and they took the stance. So that's a little bit of a backstory, but we wanted to pair it with development and direct care and direct aid. So we were trying to figure out, how do we combine advocacy with taking action? And as I'm sure we're all familiar, government is slow, and government isn't always responsive, and you know, oftentimes isn't responsive to people's needs. And so while we're waiting for the student debt cancellation policy to make its way through government, we wanted something that we could give to people now, because people are suffering now. People don't have access to basic needs now. And a lot of that stems from financial insecurity, and student debt is a huge cause for a lot of people's financial insecurity. I know for me, I pay, right now, because federal debt is paused, it's a little bit lower, but I also have private debt. So altogether, I'm paying over $700 a month. It hurts to say that out loud every time I say it. And that's a lot of money. And so we are trying to do something in the meantime. And that's why we started this crowdfunding campaign to fundraise and hopefully be able to pay down people's student debt in the meantime.
So I'm no union organizer. I'm out of college. I work at the Office Professional Employees International Union at Local 12 here in the Twin Cities. And through the course of the pandemic, we've seen more and more and more young people, especially in the Twin Cities, stand up and be like, my material conditions suck. I can't pay rent. I have student debt. And it all works. It all works together. It's consistently Black and brown and trans young people who already come from, you know, the system screwing them from day one, who then go to higher education to get a better paying job, who then are so submerged in debt that it's unsuccessful. So my advocacy from an alumni perspective from the Fuck Student Debt campaign is to talk about it in other areas that I organize, to talk about the ways in which students who have already graduated, who are fighting these different systems, need to see the way that I personally paying, like Lexi, I'm paying like $400 a month. I got private loans. Like, cool, federal loans are suspended, but I know it's not going to stay that way. Like, right now, I only have faith in current students, because I was one. Like, I remember that excitement. I see it every year in Students United. I have no faith in government going, I'm suddenly going to be a good person and stop screwing you. But I have tons of faith in students demanding it to such a degree that they have to respond. And so my support is like, how do we support those students? How do we get them what they need? How do I talk to people on the street about getting involved and connecting with current students to say, this is like, this is a labor issue, this is a race issue, this is a feminist issue, this is everyone's. Because if I had $400 more a month, I could put that back into mutual aid, back in my community, back in my energy to live my life and care about things outside of consistently just stressing about money day in and day out. And I'm one of the lucky ones because I have a job and I have health insurance right now. And that's not a position a lot of recent graduates are in right now, especially.
Can either of you speak to, you know, how this truly is a feminist issue?
Yeah. I know something that we're doing is compiling a lot of data, and the data can be skewed depending on what we're looking at, because some data just isn't collected in a great way. There's not a lot of resources for these things, unfortunately. But some things that we found are that women can hold almost 2/3 of this total student loan debt that is shared across all Americans, which is $1.7 trillion. It's a lot of money. And it is disproportionately affected by women. It's, of course, it's also disproportionately affected by Black women, Indigenous women, other women of color, trans people, other queer identities. It ties directly into the feminist movement, and canceling student debt is feminist because of all the ways, all the intersections that are taking place when we look at the debt issue and how it disproportionately impacts people, which is why Feminist Book Club was top of mind for us when we were thinking of different organizations we wanted to reach out to. We knew that the things that they're doing to dismantle these oppressive systems, the community that you all are fostering by bringing people into this book club, we just knew, we felt like it'd be a really good fit, and it'd be an audience who not only would understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, but would be an audience that would be active and engaging in the work we're trying to do.
Like all the egregious issues we're facing today, like draw one out of a hat. Everyone's impacted in some way, shape, or form, but then you have the people who receive like the brunt force of the impact the most, or are hit just harder. And student debt is no different in that way. And I mean, I worked at an LGBT resource center when I was in undergrad, and the amount of students we had that came and dropped out of our area for our students that met with our center was a lot more than, you know, the business college had to deal with. And then you have additional financial barriers for people already experiencing that. Like, nobody's collecting data really on trans kids in college because the government would have to believe we exist, right? Like, no one's going and looking to specifically Black women who they treat horribly, who are going into fields in mass need right now that are also dominated by women, who then are taking on that additional debt. We don't have the people doing the work to collect that data, but we know it's there through personal narrative and through the experiences that we see. And it's just another additional obstacle those marginalized groups within the feminist movement are facing. And we're getting hit with it every day, in and out of college, because it's harder for us to get through college. And then we get out and we're more likely to have more debt. And a lot of women are more likely to go into a field dominated by women and trans people in which they are paid less than their male counterparts. So the whole thing is, the whole thing's a feminist issue from point A to point Z.
It's shitty, patriarchal, curiarchal oppression, yep. Top to bottom. Yes.
Top to bottom. Yeah, I think we're kind of correct.
Exactly.
I know we have a lot of listeners outside of the state of Minnesota, mm-hmm. and I know that you also do some advocating on the federal level. Can you talk a little bit about why non-Minnesotans might be interested in the work that you're doing?
Well, first, student debt cancellation, right, is something that would affect everybody, not just Minnesotans. Additionally, I do want to point out that this is a fund that's available. You don't have to be living in Minnesota as well, just to, as an extra clarification. So the fund will open up for applications this fall. And we're using a priority tier system by asking self-identifying demographic questions so that we can prioritize people who have been the most harmed, like marginalized groups that we've talked about during the podcast today. So through this advocacy, we're pointing out the flaws of so many other systems. Because like Kayla said, student debt is just one example, right? Like pull it out of the hat. But largely, we talked about all the intersections. So it's not just, hey, we need student debt cancellation. We also need access to basic needs because people can't afford basic needs because of their student debt. And so there's all these different intersecting issues. And so much of this debt issue is an umbrella because the debt burden impacts people's lives in so many other ways. And so it's a bigger issue. It's an issue that's so much bigger than just Minnesota. We just happen to be an organization in Minnesota. And so Minnesotans are coming first right now. But we continue, we have big growth plans for this campaign. And we would love to see it grow beyond our state. But we're just starting out. And so support from all over is appreciated. This just essentially isn't an issue that's only impacting Minnesotans. And so the more people that can talk to people about it, the better. What we found through this campaign and through everything that we've been working on, people just don't talk about this issue. Friends, I know my friends have debt, but I don't know how it's impacting their lives. I don't know how much they're paying monthly. We're trying to open the door to having these conversations more because financial insecurity, there's a lot of shame around that. And I know I shamed myself for the debt that I have for a long time before I realized that no, like this was done to me. I was a first generation student. And for our listeners who can't see me, I'm a Black woman. And I fall into a lot of these categories where I've just been marginalized throughout my life. And when you don't have the tools to recognize that, a lot of shame can be placed on yourself. And so there's so many different ways and so many different reasons why I think people should tune in and listen to what's going on when it comes to this movement, and not just us. There's a lot of organizations that are doing great work around the student debt issue as well. within Minnesota and outside of Minnesota as well. So it intersects with so many different things that people can relate to and wrongs that people are experiencing because of the failures of our government. And it's really, we're focusing in on Minnesota right now, but it's a much larger conversation, a much bigger issue than that.
I think hopefully too, as we've seen, like, movements grow and spread, issue campaigns grow and spread. And I think a reason, even, you know, if you're hoping to be a part or create your own campaign in a similar state, you want to link up to Students United and you hear this, like, obviously do that. Make it big, make it wide, make it federal. But when it's just starting out right now and you look at it, you immediately have the ability to, by donating to the fund to help college students now, if that money grows and that money is distributed, the impact that that has on those people, the way they carry it with them, the more public it gets, the more likely those things are to grow and spread, because that's what they do. So if, you know, this is a movement of, like, just financially burdened generation from the corporate idea of college that we need to end. And if Students United is successful, I can only imagine how successful other places are going to be immediately after.
It's the very definition of grassroots, right? That it has to have a root, and that root has to take hold in order for it to grow and spread. I mean, I'm a transplant to Minnesota. I've only been here about 4 years now, and I have seen there is something in the water here where, you know, it's been recently called the home of the revolution. And, you know, there's something here where causes where we're actually, like, caring about human beings tend to take root. And so I absolutely agree that if we start it here, we can hopefully inspire and model, be a model for other states and other organizations to grow their own meadows to go with the grassroots.
Yes, I love that.
Oh man, it got so corny, but it's just so true, you know?
Yeah.
It just is, and I hope anyone listening isn't like, oh, another happy feel lucky spiel. I hope you know that we're so serious. Like, this is what happens, it's reality. Like, you have to feed and nurture these things in order for them to spread. And despite how that sounds, like, that's how it is when you invest caring in your communities. Like, you plant a seed every time you donate to a mutual aid fund, every time you donate to this, and then it spreads around, goes back in.
And I'm really glad that you mentioned mutual aid funds, because we've talked about it on our blog, we've talked about it on the podcast, you know, the importance of mutual aid funds. And a lot of people, especially people in rural communities or smaller cities, I've asked, like, how do you find a mutual aid fund? And something like the Fuck Student Debt campaign is the same, it's not the same thing as mutual aid.
No.
But it has the same, like, the gifting energy of it is the same, right? When you give and donate to Fuck Student Debt campaign, you're achieving some of the same goals as a mutual aid fund.
Right. Yeah, and you're achieving the goal, but it's not charity.
Right.
This isn't to make you feel good. This isn't a handout to somebody.
Exactly.
Like, I hope that if you're donating to the Fuck Student Debt campaign, it's because you know the legislator has failed people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the government has failed people, and I care about people, and so I'm going to go meet the need where the need is. And I think that's definitely something I see in the spirit of the Fuck Student Debt campaign, and why I was so excited when you all first published it online. Plus, aesthetically, it's just very pleasing to look at. I like
fantastic.
Zoomed in on the Instagram of a bunch of team, and I was like, wow, this is so nice. I used to work at that org. That's cool. Anyway.
Lexi, can you talk a little bit more about the campaign itself and kind of the plans for it? And you mentioned it'll be launching in the fall, but what can we do to support it in the meantime?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the campaign, we started our soft launch this last spring. And so that's when we published the website, started to get things going on social media. And right now our big emphasis is on fundraising, because if we, with the hope of providing financial relief through paying off people's debts, we need money to do that. And so fundraising is our number one priority right now. And a close second is the advocacy side. And so we will continue to push the government, the Biden administration, and Congress to cancel through policy. With that said, there's a long journey ahead. If so, for some reason, like Kayla referenced, the government wakes up and decides they're going to do the right thing, we have a lot of our alumni, a lot of students, a lot of people have a lot of fears about private student debt still. And so we really see this as being quite a long road, quite a long journey, and something that we want to be sustainable for years. And so our ask right now is that people donate 1 month's payment of their federal student loan debt while those payments are still paused. But, you know, of course, if you're unable to do that, truly a payment of any size, a donation of any size is helpful. The average student loan debt is around $32,000. Dollars in total. Mine's a lot higher than that personally, but that is the average for Minnesota.
Did you see my eyebrows go way up? Like, oh wow, that's not the way I ever wanted to be above average.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm way above average in that category. Not going to put that on my resume though. But that is the average. And so we have a fundraising goal of at least reaching that by the time we would like to give out gifts next spring. So the fall is when we are looking to open up applications. We don't have a hard date right now because it really is dependent on our fundraising. We need to meet our fundraising goal to start helping people. And so you'll just need to follow us to stay up to date on when things may be getting started as far as applications go. And our username is FCK Student Debt on all social media platforms. So you can keep an eye on us there. But in the meantime, we're just ramping up our advocacy and ramping up our fundraising efforts.
Now, Feminist Book Club donates 5% of all of our sales to a different social justice organization every month. And we're so excited that Students United Fuck Student Debt is our organization for September for our back to school theme. So anybody listening who is a part of Feminist Book Club, as you know, 5% of your total sale goes towards this cause. But I challenge you to, you know, we'll do that on your behalf, but I challenge you to also, you know, throw a little bit more money that way.
I think something that we've learned through the pandemic is how much we're having to rely on one another and how much we cannot rely on the government. And I think while that has been true for a lot of people, it was just exacerbated throughout the pandemic. And so that is really what the spirit of this fund is that clearly we're unable to rely on our government when it comes to the student debt crisis. And so we are bailing each other out because of the government's failures. And so that is what we're trying to do, and we need to bring people in. And so I just hope that people listening consider giving to our fund. And then of course, also consider applying if you have debt this fall when applications open up.
Every day I wake up and look at working class people who are just struggling. And they just want to make ends meet, and not having to pay one student loan payment, it just makes a huge difference in someone's life. And the reason I emphasize giving it through an organization like Students United and why that is important is this is one of the few orgs in all of Minnesota that is truly, truly led exclusively by the people most impacted by the issue. I was on the board. I know how it functions. It is current students who are making the calls and deciding how this is run and really making the decisions. They're the ones most impacted, they know what's up, and they're the ones that are gonna ultimately be like the driving force behind this campaign. And like, there's no better place to trust for funds to be distributed like that than someone who's directly at the source, like Students United.
The college students right now that are on the front lines of this and the most impacted by this. I mean, there's so much wisdom there. There's so much that we can learn from them. And I'm so glad that Students United is student run. I'm so proud to be supporting them this month. And I hope that our listeners and our subscribers are just as excited about the energy that's coming from Minnesota and from this organization.
Yes, it's FCK Student Debt. So dropping the U just so we don't get banned and blacklisted across social media because they're sensitive to language, which you can learn more about in the book Word Slut that is going to be in the box this month, which is such a perfect fit. Wow. Such a perfect fit.
Lexi, look at how smooth that was.
Well, Kayla, Lexi, thank you so much for joining me today. I, like I said, can't wait for our subscribers to receive a Fuck Student Debt button and art print in their September boxes alongside Word Slut and a few other back to school goodies. So if you're interested in that, head over to feministbookclub.com and stay tuned for more from Fuck Student Debt.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.
We're all very poor and care a lot. Please give students money. You don't need to include that, but that's my take.